I was looking a scripture up in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 30. You all remember what he said there. We'll read it again, because we believe that in what is said here shows the nature of God in all four of his attributes. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And that's just what Brother Gaddy started with. Righteousness. And we're going to see that righteousness is just another word for justice. Sanctification and redemption. Now, sanctification, you might say, that might not have too much to do with love, but we think that it does. And also the redemption shows his power. And so, the of God, what he has given to us, not only of the Holy Spirit, as Brother Gaddy brought to us this morning, but he has made unto us a part of him. We are to show forth or demonstrate in our lives these same attributes. Now, what do we mean by an attribute? Webster tells us that an attribute is something that belongs to or is produced by or results from, or it is a characteristic or a quality of a thing. And so this is exactly what justice is. It is part of God. It is the foundation of his throne, which we will see a little later. Webster says of justice, the quality of being righteous. So when we think of justice, we think of righteousness. And then he adds these words to it. He says impartiality, fairness, and to be legally right. Strong's, when we look up this word justice from the Hebrew, 6666, means rightness or righteousness. It means rectitude. Yet, it also means, from 4941, a judicial sentence. And it means, from 6664, equity or that which is right or just. Strangely enough, the word justice is not found in the New Testament. But the word just is found over 30 times, and the word justification 3 times, and the word right or righteousness many, many times. Just, from 1342 in the Greek, means equitable in character. So again, we see it goes right back to that portion that belongs to Jehovah God, his character. It also means to be innocent or holy, right or righteous. Do you know, I enjoyed another definition, and I'm sure that you're all aware of it. It was that definition that Brother Russell put upon justice. Now, the definition that he places here sounds very cold, and yet that's exactly what it is. We'll read his definition. Justice knows no compromise and no deviation from its fixed rule of action. It is mathematically precise. It gives nothing over for good weight or measure. There is no grace in it. There is no heart, no sympathy, no favor of any kind. It is a calculating, exact measure of truth and righteousness. Yet, as relentless as it is declared to be the very foundation of God's throne. It is the very principle that underlines God's dealings with all of his creations. It is God's business principle. Unquote. And I think that's a great and a marvelous way of putting justice. If we had, we look at justice from several standpoints. If I were to have a pair of scales here, if we put equal measure in each of the trays, they would balance. Something unequal or not equal in measure would cause the scale to dip one way or the other. To God, he is exact, absolutely exact in all of his dealings. He can be no other way with his dealings with his creatures than an exact measure. And neither can we. That's what he expects out of us. No compromise, no deviation from his fixed rule. And yet, there's something more that we have to go on and say. If that were the end of it, where would we be? Now let's look at the scriptures that we believe show right away this measure of justice. And that is the fall, of course. Genesis 2:15-17. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now that's justice. It's also love. And Brother Bruce will speak to us directly on this point of love. But it is justice. Do right and live. Do unrighteousness, or do wrong and die. And then what does he say there? Does he compromise? Genesis 3:17-19. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not surely eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to thee, and you'll eat it, or eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face you shall eat bread, till you return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Absolute justice. Adam disobeyed, and they were sentenced to death. Now there can be no deviation from God's justice unless justice is satisfied in some way. And of course this is where love takes over. It was the satisfaction of that justice shown way back there in the garden that cost the Heavenly Father his Son's life for this satisfaction of justice. Now God demonstrated this point of justice with the nation of Israel time and time again in various ways and manners. He says in Exodus 21:24-25, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. That was God's justice that he was demonstrating to the nation. Now we say, we call our God the supreme lawgiver and judge. Isaiah 33:22. And yet another thing we say of Jehovah, that he is a lover of righteousness and justice. Psalms 33:5. Then again, he says in the book of Job 37:23, justice and the abundance of righteousness he will not belittle. In the world we live in, man has fallen to such a degree that justice of all kinds is perverted. We like to point to the Bible in man's laws regarding justice. But today we find that even the very laws that were based upon those of God are being perverted. There is partiality shown to individuals, but never so with the Heavenly Father. Again, He cannot deviate from His justice. In Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verses 17 and 18, we read these words. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords. He is a great God and a mighty God and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. The same thought is found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9, and also in 1 Peter 1 and 17. Now, therefore, whenever we think of justice, it must be spoken of from the thought of right, equity, and righteousness of all kinds. As man's wisdom is far below Jehovah's, man must learn the path of justice. Isaiah 40, 13 and 14, the Heavenly Father says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, being His counselor, or has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel? And who instructed Him? And who taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, or showed Him the way of understanding? Now, this is a God-directed attribute. Now, natural Israel was in covenant relationship with God. God taught them the ways of life and justice and showed them that His justice was the very foundation that their lives should be. Yet, He says of them in Ezekiel 18 and 20 ways, or 18 and 29, Ezekiel 18, verse 29, your ways are not equal. As much love as He had shown to them, and as many times as He had given them the examples of His justice, He says, your ways are not equal. Therefore, I will judge you, everyone according to his ways. And this same principle applies to all now in covenant relationship with Jehovah. We remember, of course, that little story in Samuel. We love this little story because it brings out this principle, and even David found that. I thought I had it right here, but that's what happens when you put your bookmark in and you lose it. Well, I'll tell a story if I can't find it. But here it is in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. Remember this little story? David had desired Bathsheba and had sent Bathsheba's wife Uriah out and had him killed in the battle. And so the Lord sent the prophet Nathan unto David. And he gave this little story. A rich man had many flocks and herds, but the little poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up and grew together with him with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was under him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he did take the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And you know, David was very angry over this, wasn't he? He says, what shall happen? He says, as the Lord liveth, that man that has done this thing shall surely die. And remember Nathan's answer to him? He says, you're the man. That little story was about you. David had perverted justice. He was not right in what he had done. And then Uriah says, or Nathan says, that God had put away David's sin, but he said that because you have done this deed, in verse 14, and has given occasion to our enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that shall be born unto thee shall surely die. God balanced justice, a life for a life. David didn't get away with it because he was called a man after God's own heart. God balanced his justice. We are in covenant relationship like Jehovah God, with our Jehovah God, like Israel. As God had taught the natural Israel his laws and ways of life in which justice was his foundation, and how they failed, it is for us to see that we learn the lessons that they failed on, and that we keep God's justice in our dealings with others. How can we learn justice? First, we must learn what the rights of others are, as well as our own. Secondly, we must follow the actions that are set down by our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus in His Word. These are kindness, sympathy, and consideration and benevolence. Without intruding upon Brother David's treatise on love, we'll say that in the learning of justice, love must be the measuring stick of our dealings with others. We must first of all administer absolute justice, strict justice with ourselves, but yet, through love and generosity, we must accept less from others. The standard of justice in these dealings is outlined in the law given to natural Israel in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verses 35 and 36. And God sets down this standard in this way. You will do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measure, in length, in weight or measure. You will have just balances. You will have just weights. A just ephah and a just hin you will have. Now this is a perfect standard, my dear brethren, and we all know that only our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus had that perfect standard. And we are fallen, and our Lord, we are only covered and can make this walk as the Lord would have us make it, being covered by this robe of righteousness that our Lord gives us. Yet, the standard is not one that we cannot keep. We must abide by it. We must practice righteousness. Righteousness is just another word for justice. Remembering that in giving justly to others, we must never give less. Never give less. We may give more, but never less. Now, going back to the scriptures, we see that justice has always been the standard of the Father. Isaiah 1:17. He says this, learn to do well, seek judgment, that is, act justly, relieve the oppressed. Now let's stop here for a minute. To do justly does not mean that we are to look the other way when we see injustice done to others or being practiced by others. This would not be right either, just to close our eyes to it. We are to set the example, and we are to follow through to see it to the best of our ability that justice is done. The principle is repeated over and over. In Amos 5:15, one last scripture here in the Old Testament, hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. The principle of God's righteousness and justice is always right, strictly laid out before us. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of James, the second chapter, we have some interesting thoughts here. Verses 1 to 9, we find that the principle is laid out for us. First of all, that if we lack wisdom, then we must ask of God, who gives all to all and upbraids not. We're not to be double-minded or unstable. We are to think of those of a low degree and rejoice in those that are exalted. And these are the tests that are laid out before us. In summary, there is the principle of Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We can't read the heart, of course. And we are not like our Lord or our Father. But our standard is just to do justly, Micah 6:8, walk humbly, and love mercy. So we say that God does not violate his standard of justice, and neither must we. Our dealings with ourselves must be exact while making leeway for others. Our peace and happiness depend on just how just we are. God is a gracious God and providing a way where justice may be administered, and yet finding a way where justice might be satisfied. Our question for ourselves, how just are we? Do we give a right measure in all of our dealings? God's ways are higher than ours, my dear brethren. Yet his standards that he provides are not those that we cannot conform to. His ways are best. Let us take heed to these ways, to this great attribute of justice, and live happily before our God.